These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness. We are the voice in the desert, crying, preparing the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are all white and the trumpets call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Behold, He comes.
Yeah. Riding on the cloud. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sister Anna with an H is going to come and minister for us this afternoon.
Hallelujah. We're singing for Milka.
Kumbaya, my Lord.
Okay.
Kumbaya.
Song, and there was a brother in there. He wanted to know what kumbaya meant, you know, so you better be ready to answer all the questions. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing.
See him, don't you? And good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Revelation 3:14, where we were talking about this morning. Try to continue the thought on of what we were trying to bring. Now, remember, the announcement has been made. I come out here and make them because sometimes people don't hear and they don't get it, and I try to make them, but we've got Brother Joe always puts them up on the internet, so, you know, we try to keep him posted as to what to do, and we've got a couple of things to put on there today, more on it, so Brother Joe can get it up on there. But remember the fellowship meeting now this coming Saturday, starting at 2 o'clock. We'll be eating about 5, coming to us be together, bring you a coat, hat, and stay warm, and we'll try to fellowship together. All right, then remember the Bible study will be on the Saturday, the 7th of November. Come and be with us for that. Then Brother Gadman will be with us on November the 8th. So remember that part. Now, the Thanksgiving dinner will be on the 15th. We will only have one service that day. So we have the morning service, and then we'll have the eating together and all for Thanksgiving. All right. Now, on that week, it's been requested because of Thanksgiving falling, you know, on the Thursday after that we'd be doing, you know, I think that's the way it works. Or is it a week off? Anyhow, the week that the Thanksgiving falls, all right, we'll put it this way. The week the Thanksgiving falls, we're going to have Tuesday night service instead of Wednesday night because of it falling so close and you'd be coming up and having to cook. Okay, so that'll be the somewhere along about the 24th, right? Everyone who can look on the calendar, but it'll be something like that, that we will be having services on that Tuesday night before Thanksgiving on Thursday, okay, for that week. All right. Then we'll be having our Christmas time together December the 13th, and the church is catering the dinner that day, so you won't have to fix nothing, and there'll only be one service that day as usual, and we'll be having that time. And then when it comes to the Christmas time of the week that would fall on, it's on Christmas Eve on Thursday, and Friday would be Christmas Day, so that week we will have the Tuesday night service also. Okay, if that gets confusing, just ask somebody. I stay enough confused as it is. Just ask somebody. That way we can kind of move it about, and you won't be so tied up having to do and cooking and running and doing. We'll move our services, okay? So if you don't get what I said, ask somebody. That's the best way, all right? So remember that, okay? Any other announcements that we need to make? Not that I know of. Okay. So let's pray and go right into our scripture of Ephesians 1. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your love, Lord. Thank you for your kindness and for your understanding of each one of us. Thank you for you. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to be guided into your love and your understanding. And Father, we pray that you would just be with us. You said you would. You promised it, so we can depend on that. And you said that you would be with us and bring your word, and your word would be the healer. And you would even deliver us from our destructions and things. We love you, and we thank you. We ask you to just have your way. Forgive our sins, because we want to stay covered under the blood. And just have your way with each one of us. Remember the sick among us. Remember Brother Benny, Lord, Sister Anna, the different ones that are sick today. We pray that you would bless each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to most of you, there are a lot of you go downstairs to the Sunday school doings. I would encourage you, because the Sunday school services is on the Internet, okay? It's on the Internet. To you that don't go to the Sunday school services here on Sundays, it is on the Internet. I would encourage you to listen, because Wade is in the series now starting on Daniel 70 weeks. Well, I would encourage you to listen, you know, on the Internet. If you can't do it and go down and all, click on the Internet and listen to the services and all like that. I generally go like two, and then I'll click on and I'll listen, because I like to listen too, and you know, follow the way it's being done. So I would thoroughly encourage you to listen to these things on the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, I wasn't the one that said it in there that said, if you don't understand this, you would not understand the seals, the plagues, the vials, the trumpets, the thing. All right. Now, But everybody knows all about the seals, the plagues, the trumpets, the vials, knows nothing about Daniel's 70 weeks. Well, now's a chance for you to listen to somebody speak about it. Well, I ain't got time. Well, you could stay out of Walmart for just a little bit. Okay? You could miss Walmart one afternoon and catch up pretty quick. You know, you could do that, okay? You know, because I think we need these things. They're vital to us. You say, well, Brother Branham was so messed up in doing that. Well, why don't you join up with these on the Internet then? Because they're saying he's all messed up. I'm saying what the prophet said in Daniel 70 weeks, the seals and thereafter is the same thing. There's no difference in it. It's the way you try to interpret it. All right? And they're done hitting that now on this. What is the website? What is the name of the website?
Believe the Sign is one of them.
They're already hitting it on there. They're saying Brother Brown was so messed up. I heard this the other day now. If it ain't true, I heard it. Said that Brother Brown was so messed up in the 70 weeks of Daniel that was when Jim Jones came to that meeting and got confused about 77. And remember, 77 was when Jim Jones and the killing of the people in Guyana.
Right.
All right. And they're saying that Brother Branham was the cause of that.
That
he messed him up.
Yep. Right.
Because he said everything be over in 77. Brother Branham didn't say that.
Right.
Didn't say that.
Nope.
He said, don't you say I said that.
Right.
I proved in 1974 by Brother Branham, we could go to the year 2026 and not break the Bible nor the prophet's message. But people don't want to hear that.
Yep.
They want their dates and their times and their seasons and their doings and their little things that make them. No, the prophet's message is right.
Amen.
That's that thing we was talking about this morning where you can take Acts 2:38, Matthew 28:19.
Right. Right.
It looks contrary one to the other, but when it comes together,
Amen.
When he says here and he says here, it'll come together with a beautiful picture if people would just listen. But, you know, that's the way it is, and it's going to be that way because they're not going to listen anyway. But they're quick to straighten you out, but they're not going to listen to the truth. They're going to stomp their feet and everything else, but that's all right. Let's go into our scriptures. But I just encourage you to listen to what's being said, and then as you go along, if there's questions, then ask Wade about the questions and let him cover it in questions and answers. Don't ask me. You'd ask him. He's the one that's talking. If he needs any help, me and him can talk. But you go ask him what he's talking about. All right? Because that's within his doing.
SeekYeTheTruth.com.
SeekYeTheTruth.com. I don't suggest you go looking at them unless you've got a mind that wants to run into a garbage can and listen to all the things that they're tearing Brother Brown's message apart. Well, I've said it from the beginning. It doesn't matter what you say about Brother Branham. It doesn't matter if you can prove it. The message he brought has brought me to God.
Amen.
And I glory in that.
Amen.
No matter who brought it.
Amen.
I thank God for the truth. Don't you? Amen and amen and amen. Right. Okay, let's go into our scripture, Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, now he purposed something, watch now, that in the dispensation, he's going to tell you what he purposed, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel, which is this church age, right? What was his message? What was the message to do? Well, he was to bring the word. Read it in simple language. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Wonderful statement, and you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I'm not trying to, I get tickled because I said a while ago about stomping. I remember a brother here when he was in the 70 weeks of Daniel, he got so upset, he was stomping his feet, and the sisters all downstairs was laughing and talking about how that he was stomping his feet, and, you know, and one of them said to the other one, said, that's them black folks up there, said, they get excited. It wasn't no black folks, it was her daddy. I ain't joking. He wasn't excited. He was highly upset. Because he said, get off of it. You're trying to make me believe this. Well, nobody trying to make him believe it. They were the one that voted to have the topic. Okay. Let's see. My point is what? Listen, folks. The word of God is true. It don't make no difference where we understand or not. Or what we do. The word of God is true. All right, so we should believe the word of God and not worry. When the prophet said something, we should believe it. We're not to correct what he's saying. That's why I'm quick when I say something that I know is a little contradictory. I'll always give you the other side and show you. Tell you, I always do that. Because you'd say, well, you ought not bring it to our attention. No, I want you to know what the truth is. I'm not trying to hide nothing. I don't have nothing to hide. You need to worry about that with Brother Dale. There ain't nothing in this man that's ever going to hide. I'm right out front telling you what I believe and why I believe it. Amen. And that's the way that I've always been. Okay. Now, picking up trying to where we were this morning. It's just a little spot of backing up. This Genesis 1:26 and 27 man that we read of in the Bible, it said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, et cetera, et cetera. We found out from our studies and bringing from what the prophet has said that that man was created before the foundation of the world. But now, see, I use the word created because I'm just human. Really, you know, it would be better to say that man of Genesis 1:26 and 27 just came into being. But now you're still going to be hooked on to coming into being because you're going to be hooked on something that started. Well, I don't believe that man started anywhere. That's what I've been trying to prove. If he's in the image of God, whatever the man was, God is. Whatever God is, the man is. All right? The man was in the image of God. God is, as he condescended downward for us to understand, starting from, you know, the great Elohim, self-existing, moving downward as the prophet would bring it. Go to Genesis, question and answers on Genesis in 53, I think it is, and listen to that, all right? And as he condescends downward, his first condescending is what? Word. Word. Logos. Speech. Those are the words of the prophet. All right? And as he does, he condescends downward then to be even called a son of God. Amen. Not God the Son. Now, we don't believe in that. Amen. God the Son don't work. That's your denominational doctrine. Amen. But it's the son of God. Amen. All right? Because a son of God, a son can't be eternal. Right. But if that son is God, in another form, he could be eternal because that's who he is. All right? See, then that one that we see there, he came down and he condescended downward to where that he could create. All right? Now, we know the Bible says, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, John 1, Ephesians 3 and 9, that Jesus Christ is the only creator. Without him, it was not anything made that was made. Right. Man, I am Jesus. He said, thou art the Christ. Now, who revealed that? Jesus said, I didn't reveal that to you. He said, my own life, paraphrasing Brother Branham, didn't reveal that. He said, it's the Father that revealed it. And upon this rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? On that rock, he would build his church. So it's not built on Jesus. It's not built on the Catholic Church for some rock. Right? It's built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why Peter said what he was saying. You think he knew what he said? It was probably amazing in his mind when his mouth had spoken it, because he spoke by inspiration. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Go on over, you'll find some of the others, like Martha and some of them, they declared him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that one was declared there, and he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. A revelation of Jesus Christ. Why? Not Jesus the flesh didn't create all things. It wasn't back there. But Jesus Christ, which is Almighty God. Being his name is Jesus. And Christ is this, it means the anointing or anointed. You know. All right. That's why Brother Randall said, if you can't find Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. He said, you missed it. Why? Because that's who it's all about. All right. See, then as he condescended downward, then when the man came into being in his own image, who would that man be? And we're still back in eternity. We haven't come down to the words predestination and the things. We're still back dealing with the beginning before the eternal. That's what your prophet would be saying it, see? All right? Then that one that was there, when Brother Branham would use, said he was in theophany. All right? See? Then the man, he said, was in theophany. And he said Eve was in theophany in the man. And then when the man comes into earth, the theophany was in the man, right? Come on. And that being in the man, still something was missing. He said, because Eve was still in theophany. He said, but then she was taken out, and then what was in God come to Eve, just like breathing it into Adam. And both of them had eternal life. That was, as I said the other day, was God's example child. Had there not been a fall, look how wonderful that would have been. If it had not been a fall, it would have been simply God creating mankind. Right? Then we could have all went to the tree of life, because it was in the garden. And been made eternal in bodies. That's the only thing Adam needed. All right? But see, what's wrong? Why can't you see that? That's exactly what's been happening for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, God has been bringing into being himself to where that he could come and pay the price and salvation could be made. And what are we doing now? We're going back to the tree of life. What is the tree of life? The Word of God. And I like this part, don't you? Eating from the Word of God that has been expressed to us by the prophet. All right? See, then, whatever God was, that's the man. Whatever the man was, that's what God is. Well, why can't we believe, Brother Branham, and come down instead of our own? We've got to have our mind. We just get all confused, and we can't think of things. And I gave you the quote where this morning, where Brother Brown said in the entombment, he said his soul, his spirit, his theophany of his own being went to hell. That's right. Amen. Well, he didn't have no trouble talking about God and being a soul. Well, I just don't know, because I don't know. I got my idea what soul is. Well, that's all right. But will it fit the Word of God? Whatever God was, the man was. Right? Well, according to Brother Branham, when Jesus Christ died, he released that life was in there, that where he said, my soul is troubled. That soul went out of him, Brother Branham said, ripped out. You know, put it in a language like that. What was it? God just simply exited the body. It wasn't God up here above and he reached down and he goes, you're getting your mind in too many mortal combat. To where they kill a guy and they go over and grab his soul and then it makes them super duper duper duper. You're in too much junk. Right? See, get it down straight. God just simply stepped out of that body. But do we believe that God was God? Do you believe that Jesus was that God? Then when he stepped out of the body, what? The spirit went back to God who gave it. Is that true? The body went to the grave. The soul went to hell. To preach to the what? Spirits, the Bible called it, which is souls, in prison. And Brother Branham said his soul, his spirit, his theophany of his being. And where did he see them at? They were in bodies too. What were their bodies? Their soul. When you die, your soul goes to a place of abode, whether you're a sinner or a saint. It goes someplace. Your spirit goes back, as the Bible would say, to God who gave it. That's a hard way of using it because of a sinner. So just say annihilated, just do away with it. But then the body goes to the grave. The prophet said one day, if you're here, if you're dead, he said, your soul be released from God. He'll come by and pick up your spirit and says, come and raise up your body. And he said, you'll stand right here. He said, but if you're alive, you know, if you don't die, he said, you take this body to meet your theophany. Well, it's up yonder. No, no. That's what we're doing right now. I won't have time to get to it, but listen to who is this Melchizedek and see what a theophany really is. Brother Brandon said it's a word body. It's not my words. That's what he said. He said it's a word body. He said we bypass that. He said, but he didn't. He said he came that way. See, he came straight down as Almighty God, right down through Creator, coming all the way down, and through the Old Testament as the Christ that would lead, and step right into human flesh in what we call Jesus. Then he exited right out of that body and went to hell to pay the price for you and me. He come back up, raised up that body, and stood on the earth. All right? Now, he said, but I've got to go away now because the Holy Ghost can't come. He couldn't come while he was here. He had to leave, right? So he left out and he came back on the day of Pentecost in the form of what? May I quote Brother Branham? His soul came back in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, and after that has put out, paraphrasing a little, after that has been out and put out, then he's coming. What do you have in you by the new birth? The Spirit don't give you eternal life. You don't get it that way. Because that's why the brother was talking today. Why Brother Branham, they didn't know I was going to all this, but it's all right. We can talk about it. That's why Brother Branham said you can be anointed on your spirit every day of your life and miss it. Because that spirit's not eternal. But that soul, if it's born again, has eternal life. All right? That then is the nature of Almighty God. It's just not your soul. Well, it's just a nature of something. It's a very person or being of God who unites with you in the new birth to give your soul, because we're going to get to that. Sure, we bypassed. Now, this is the way ahead. But I'll put it in where you'll know that I'm not fooling with it. We bypassed coming the way God made in his mind, if you want to take it. If you want to say before the world or whatever. We bypassed coming into that. Read, who is this, Melchizedek? See, Jesus came straight down the line. He didn't bypass the word. He came in a word body called a theophany. But he said, you and I bypassed that. Well, was it something we went around? No, we just never come that way. That's the way we bypassed it. We didn't come that way. We would have come perfect had there not been a fall. But by being a fall, we had to come and bypass that eternal part back there. To come to earth to be body, spirit, and soul, a human being, would be lost. And we read it there this morning where Brother Man was talking about the soul and the thing. He said, here it is in realms of this going down. He said, but then here's this and this going up. When Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, I didn't write the book. He calls that soul. He said the angel of the Lord referred to the scripture, souls under the altar. Oh, but Brother Dale, soul under the altar is fifth sealed you. Oh, you're wonderful, ain't you? When it says souls under the altar, that can be the bride of Christ and is in every way. But when you say, how long to avenge our blood, that's a fifth sealed Jew. Now you got it right. Right? See, we bypassed coming the way we should have come. We should have come with the appropriate, total eternal life. But why does the people of the message now say, I come here with eternal life in me? Now, we're going to get to this. I thought the only access to eternal life was Jesus Christ. I thought that he came here with us in him. That was the way I thought Brother Brown was explaining it. I didn't think we come here with him and us. Remember, Adam come here with Eve and him. Eve never come here with Adam and her. Now you're reversing the whole thing and you're going to the Catholicisms where you're thinking. But I'm just talking about eternal life. I'm talking about Christ. Eternal life. All right? That's why where we ended up talking about. And Brother Branham says what? Well, the Bible says it. What? Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. All right? Now, there's no way that Satan can create. Get that out of your mind. That's your two soul doctrines and a lot of other doctrines. If they made Satan a creator, I will take that back. He can create confusion. Can I say it that way without it being confusing? That's what he's good at, is creating confusion. Because confusion is not eternal and it's not real. It's a brought up. But all right. Now, then all souls are mine. Satan can't give you a soul. Even Brother Branham explaining it. You get into this, you see how it opens up. 40 years of preaching, and you're just standing here trying to stop from saying things because they're just there behind you. But didn't the prophet explain that those fallen angels is what give us a nature? Well, how did we get that nature if we couldn't come in a fallen condition? They perverted us. They put us in the wrong realm. All right. But come on. See, now we ended up where Brother Branham says on paragraph 279 of the Hebrew series. He's talking about the difference between an animal and a man. Said God put a soul in a man, and he didn't put it in the animal, because the soul that was in the man is that theophany. All right. Now that's Adam in his original creation. Then he was put in flesh. His original creation was God just not giving him eternal life and making it do. See, we use the word create. That's why I read that to read with it, where it says in Revelation 3:14, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, ain't that something? The beginning of the creation of God. First, you got a beginning, which that means a start. And then you got a creation, which means a start. So you like what we're talking about. You can't take Webster's definition. We must use his definition for wording, but it's not according to the scripture. When we get to it in a minute, where Brother Brown is talking about you and I before the foundation of the world, as in the beginning of the creation of God. Don't go haywire. That's what I tell you. I warn you ahead of time. You run in beginning of the creation of God, you're going to get a couple of hundred quotes from Brother Branham. Well, maybe cut it down less than 100. Maybe 50, 60 quotes from Brother Branham about beginning of the creation of God. And they're going to lead you straight to Jesus Christ, the virgin-born body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the ones I'm going to read to you takes you all the way back to the beginning. The beginning of the creation of God. All right. Listen. So what's the problem if your soul is your theophany? The sinner, he has a soul. He dies. He goes somewhere. Right? He's there in his soul. And he's there, and what did the rich man say? You know, I'm tormented in these things. Well, he was there in enough to be tormented. Well, yet that wasn't his body. His body was in the grave. His spirit was released to go back to where it came or whatever. But his soul was in hell, as we call it. Gehenna, Hades, Sheol. That's why Brother Brandon was listening to him last night. He said, I wouldn't even preach on hell till I seen what it was. He said, because every time I'd read it, the grave would mean Sheol, Gehenna, Hades. You know, he had so many definitions of the words to the grave and hell till he wouldn't even speak on it. All right? Now, cut this off, Josh, and we'll go with the other. Something's messing us up. Are we clear now? Okay. I'll stand still this afternoon, I hope. But listen. See, then why is the problem of thinking about your soul being your theophany? Because the word theophany means a body. Right? It means a body. Whatever you want to definition it with, it still means a body. Right? The word soul means a body, a person, a real, who you are. The prophet said, you are what you are by your soul. So when the sinner dies and goes to hell, he's down there in his body, his soul. When Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, I got a couple in here, but I'll be glad to bring it, where Brother Branham says this was sold under the altar. The angel referred to that. He said, this there, I seen those people in their theophany. But you know what? He didn't see floating little clouds, little puffs going along. You remember in his early ministry when he didn't understand because he hadn't been there? He thought that he would see Brother Neville. He said, I could see him, but said, I would not be able to go and touch him. He said, because it wouldn't be. He said, but God straightened me out. Because when he went beyond the curtain of time, he could feel them people. They were real. But yet that's their souls. Well, no, he saw their theophanies when he got over there. Well, like the angel referred to it as souls on the altar. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Your soul is your theophany. That's who you are. Your soul is the real you. I'm not talking to brains. You get into trouble talking brain to brain. Right? Because mine don't work too good. Huh? I talk spirit to spirit, you're not going to do any good. Because you're just going, what is the spirit? Reason, memory, conscience. Well, I think it's this way. Well, now, I think it's this way. You mean I haven't got a right to think? according to the Constitution, you have. They're taking that away, so go ahead. But according to the Bible, you don't have a right to think. The Bible said, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. It'll make you a new creature. The Bible don't give you a right to think. Lambs have no right to think. They operate as lambs. We got into trouble by thinking. That's what Eve done. I think this is the way it needs to be. That's where the trouble came. All right? But you see, I simply was trying to explain a little point this morning. Where Brother Brown got into the demonology. Go ahead and pull up number 8. I'll get these other two or threes in the line. But number 8, which is demonology, physical realm. But your souls were made up before the foundation of the world. When God created man in his own image. The spirit of man, not a man in his image, but man in his image. That sounds kind of, why is Brother Brown saying it that way? Because it's not a man, it's not a many-membered body that's created there. You know what I mean? Peoples. It's a many-membered body, which is Christ. So he's not creating man or mankind. This is not the image of God in mankind. It doesn't work. All right? But notice he said, but your souls were made up. Now he's talking about you. May I inject... Oh, I had to move back. Josh said, get over there. Can y'all tell me something? But you see, the Bible, now let me make a point. Listen to a point. When you read in the Bible, you read what it says, right? But you know it's not written to you. The Bible's not written to everybody, right? The Bible's written to Christians. Now, you want a while to stay on that one? All that a sinner can do is realize he's lost. It's not written to him, because read the Bible. It says in Romans, Galatians, and all those things, to the saints that are at Ephesus. You remember Brother Brandon when he got into that? And they said, well, saints got to be dead. He said, well, why does the Bible say to the saints at Ephesus? The saints at Romans. See? But may I give you a quote from Brother Brandon? The Bible is not written to everybody. The Bible is written to Christians. Those who are in Christ Jesus. The others, all they can do is realize they're lost. It's not to them. It's written to the born-again believer. All right? When Brother Branham is speaking, he said, who's he talking about? He talking about all the world? Every soul wasn't in the God and his offspring. The sinner wasn't there. The sinner never will be there. Yeah. You say, well, I don't know about that part. Okay, let's take number 9 and just see. Because we're jumping from 1953, demonology, to 1965. Come on. Sorry about that. Somebody bring me a rope, Tommy. Okay, broken cistern, 1965. Now look what your prophet had to say. That if I had to, if I would have known before there was a world, when we were souls, a part of God. Amen. Now who's he talking about? Only the born again believer. Same one he's talking about in demonology in 53. He's not talking about the world, because all the world wasn't back there. We'll get into predestination. The next message after this one is the mind of God. We'll get into that, where that God in his mind, and he sees and he knows, and he starts his predestination by foreknowledge. We ain't even got into predestination yet. This is God saying what he's doing and what he's going to do. Right? Go look at it. See if I would have known. Look what he says about it. When we were sold a part of God, that we are, for we were with him before the foundations of the world. Now, everybody wasn't with him, right? Everybody wasn't with him. I'll hang on here. Go ahead. I can do this because we get to, is it hearing okay? As long as it's okay. Leave it alone. I'll get tied up and get the other one messed up. Be like Brother Forney. He's one that blows them when he starts, and the thing quits working. Okay. But now listen. He's talking about somebody that existed before the world. Now, not just in his mind, right? Because he says, ever who this is he's talking about, were souls. A part of God. Now, how many souls does God have? Okay. Now, look. That we are, for we were with him before the foundation of the world, because there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. And we're a part of him. We was not so much that we would know and could think and had a being. Now he's explaining. We went back to our real. You remember, he don't believe in preexistence of souls. But yet he's talking about souls that existed in God. He's got to be talking about something different, right? But we were in his thoughts of what we were before the foundation of the world. Because we are a part of him. Now look, like my son is part of me, and I am part of my father. Now, so there wasn't a whole bunch of souls running around up in heaven. He don't believe in that. But there was this 126 and 27 man, which is God. Now one of these days you're going to realize this statement. Brother Dick likes this one. One of these days you're going to realize this one. Taking the word of God on your lips and God in your heart, soul to speak from. He said it's deity speaking. Who was this back before the world? If it's a part of God. Now, there's where the people miss the idea, see? Because that always was eternal. But then they want to bring it down to flesh. Why? And why is it? Come on. Why is it these doctrines run the flesh, and when they do, they get in the flesh, and you see polygamies and everything on every hand? Show me a man that starts those seed doctrines. Y'all ain't old enough to realize the old days when we was here. I won't call names, but there was one brother. He used to come here, and he used to preach this seed. We come with this seed. We come with this seed. We come with this seed. We had this seed in us. We always was eternal. We had this seed. Brother Bolton, I tried to talk to the man. You know what he done? He was about 65 or 70 years old. He got a young girl pregnant. And you know he never repented of it because he come right back here and I told him where he was wrong at my house and what he had done. And he never repented one dab. He still thought he was right. You know why he thought he was right? He was a preacher. And he had a dream. And he told the girl the dream. Come on, this man done it. My wife can verify. The man told the girl a dream. In the dream, he had a seed to plant. Well, his wife was done through menopause. So there wasn't no hopes. So he convinced her that she was the one to bear his seed. I said, brother, you missed it. I said, don't you realize any preacher ought to have enough spiritual sense about him to know that if you a preacher's got a seed to plant, that's what I'm doing. I'm planting a seed, which is the word of God. It's not a physical seed. But it didn't matter to him. He had a dream. Come on. Are you following me? If we were souls back before the world, we had to be part of God. Or else you got pre-existence of souls and you've done messed up. And if you got pre-existence of souls, then anybody else that come into the world that was not pre-existent can go before God and accuse him of being a respecter of persons. You don't realize that? But you can't do that. Brother Branham said only the predestinated will be in the rapture. You mean there's a predestinated rapture? You mean there's a predestinated seed? I thought that's what we believed. I thought we believed there where he was talking about that he didn't believe in preexistence, reincarnation, or transmigration. I thought he went right on down and said in 154 of the church age book, he said it's not the person who comes predestinated from God eternally. It's the seed or word. It's not this you're looking at that come from God that way. This come from mom and daddy permitted of God to come into being. Brother Brown said even your spirit was permitted. He can't create anything imperfect. But he made us perfect. He made us with a choice. And when you reach the age of accountability, you make your choice. Then you become a sinner before God. Until then, you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's one thing I love. Brother Brown said them babies and things like that. I tell it over and over because it means that to me. I used to wonder about little babies. I'd read the Bible. He's a Baptist. I'd read the Bible, and I'd see where God would tell them to utterly destroy men, women, children, babies. And I thought, God, I can understand them grown-ups. I can understand teenagers. I can understand somebody, you know, that's kind of had something to do with the choice. But why would you kill babies? I mean, I was at the Baptist. I wondered. And one day I picked up a message from the prophet, and he said, all babies under the age of accountability, when they die, they go to heaven. He said, it don't matter where your mom and daddy was married or wasn't married or all those doctrines of the Catholic Church, you know, that if you wasn't christened in the church and you can't be christened in your church if you're bastard born, threatenings and doing all kind of things. And I rejoiced. And you know what I thought of? I thought, oh, well, God, how great you are. If that baby had grown up and been an adult, it would have made a choice. And you'd have had to send it to hell because of the choice it made. But in the age, before you get to the age of accountability, that baby will automatically go to heaven. He takes the baby to heaven. I cried because that took away from my thoughts. Why can't we get down into the Bible and think about what it's saying and take it for what the prophet has said for the wondrous and glorious points that it's been? That the soul of mankind is so real until God gave his own soul to make the ransom. The body was for the body. The spirit was the anointing for the spirit. The soul that was within him had to come back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a direct quote from your prophet. And see, what is it then? Back when we were souls, a part of God. Well, everybody wasn't a part of God. You say, yeah, but that doesn't want, no, it don't do away with choice, because we're going to come down to that. We're going to come down to find out. He put us right here. He put us right here with the rest. We bypass what we should have been. Come right straight down to flesh to be lost. Right? He made us just as lost as anybody else is lost. I'll get to that in the message. He made us sinners just like anybody else is a sinner. Because, see, he had to create when it come on down. Now, here's where we will get with creation. He created you a body through your mom and daddy. He created a spirit or permitted it to come into being in you. And he created you a soul. So in the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, every person that would ever come into the world God knew about it and knew he would have to create for them a soul for them to dwell in. But they would be a group of people that would go all the way back past the predestinations, back past the foreknowledge, back into the very mind of God and become part of the very mind of God. Not just what he thought of, but become the people of Almighty God. Then Brother Branham would make the statement to you. He said, don't you remember when you were out there in the world of sin? He said, there was a little something different about you. You don't remember that? You don't remember when you was a sinner? And yet you knew you was a sinner? And there was something different about you? Come on. I tell things for the truth of it, not to exalt anything. But I told you when I was 18 years old and I'd go out and do right things wrong, I'd come home and I would feel sorry about those things. Not a great boy. Just look at Moncho. I'm called man. I would feel sorry about it. And I wouldn't touch a married woman for no amount of money you had in the world. And had the opportunity to. But I wouldn't do it. Because I had something that was. To me, I honored a woman. I do today. I see these sisters out here. Amy gets to. I mean. Yeah, Amy, I used to kid her, and I do most of it. When I walk up, I look at the ones here, Rachel, I'd say, hey, you're getting a little fat. Well, I'm not throwing off on them. I'm bragging about it. That's an honor. For you to bear children is a wonderful honor. And I respect those things. Okay. But remember, when he says, but your souls were made up before the foundation of the world. Now, he's not putting them in time. He's putting them before the foundation of the world. And in God's mind before the foundation of the world, he knew every soul it would ever be. And he's the only one that can create that soul to bring it into being. But what about the group of people that in his mind that he knew you would want eternal life? So he would have it ready for you. Why would that be if there wasn't something on back? That's where people can't understand the stature of a perfect man and the doings and the pull. Why can't you understand? That down through the ages, they didn't have that headstone. But it's come in the last days, which is a revealed word of God. This message is the headstone to the church, and it's pulling us. Pulling us right into a body change and a walking off of this earth. 40-something years, 50 years, the prophet's been gone. I haven't been playing all those years. I've been preaching just like I preach now. And you know it. Some of you have been here 40 years almost. Well, 40, I guess Brother Colleen is. And know that I haven't changed. Because there's no way to change it. The Word of God is right. But then he goes right straight over to Broken Cistern where we were reading from. And he talks about us souls, a part of God. Now, if you're a part of God, a sinner is not a part of God. A part of God can only be anything, be what God is. All right? Then watch what he gets to. Go on to number 10, which is proving his word. And listen to what he says. Roll it up, because you can read the things behind it and all. But roll it on up a little higher. Watch what it says. He's talking about he was Jehovah made manifest. Now, who's it talking about? Jesus Christ, right? Watch. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Watch. God in creation. God will a little part of the creation here that God was living in himself. He was the beginning of the creation of God. From him begot many sons. Right? If he's the beginning of the creation of God, he begot many sons. When did he beget you? We got to receive it down here. Don't bypass that. But when was you really begotten? According to the Bible, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, or it never will be written there. Right? So what are we getting to? But he was the beginning of the creation of God. You say, yeah, I know, because that beginning of the creation of God said that's that beginning says that's when he became in human flesh. May I read these? May I read these parts and then come back down to the point? May I read just the thought of what he says? Yes. Go ahead with 2B, because I really did give these to him a while ago. See, I try to cut down to make it shorter. And my wife knows they're piled there. Listen, talking about Jesus Christ. Here his body was in the grave. His soul was in hell. Preaching a lie about what? That was in his theophany. He was in his theophany again. His soul was down there with those people that were. There's one Brother Dick was talking about. He kind of pauses. Theophany also. And was witnessing to them that they repented not in the long suffering. Now he's got to be talking about somebody that's lost. Right? Not just the people, because, come on, he wouldn't call the people that sold under the altar that was would come up. He talks about them, that he come to them not to be a witness against them. He come to the souls under the altar that were the Old Testament saints living in paradise. He came to them because of what they were. Remember, he knocked on the door? You remember the countdown? He knocks on the door. And as he knocks on the door's open. And Abraham says, Sarah, come here. See, here's that man that we fed the calf to. Ezekiel says, here's that wheel in the middle of the wheel. He never went there as a witness against them. He went there to witness that they were right.
Right. That's right.
But look, he was in his soul. Now, let's go on one more because I had these a while ago. Just go ahead to number 2C. All right, that's 2B. Go on to 2C, which is the Hebrews chapter 6. Excuse me, chapter 4. And so we got that one, 2C. We got these out because I've got the other one over here. I'll read that in just a minute. Leave that up. Let's just read that. You still got it? Who is this Melchizedek? Look what he says. He's talking about the earthly tabernacle be dissolved. We have another one. See, we have bypassed that to come straight from God, the attribute to be flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin like Adam did. But when testing of this word is over, then we're taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world.
Yep.
See? It is the word that we skipped to come right down, right around down here to be tempted and tested.
Amen.
If we'd come through that, there'd have been no temptation. We'd have known all things. That's the reason Jesus knowing all things, because he was word before he was flesh. Then he become, you know, the word. All right? Here we are formed to the word image, to be a partaker of the word, feed on the word by being predestinated since the beginning. You see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey. I just wanted to do that because that was one we had a while ago. All right. Let me just read this one. It's taken from Hebrews chapter 4, 1957. But their souls are under the altar of God. Not, they're not in their right state. They're in a body, truly, but a theophany. And they cry out to God, how long? They could see one another, but they couldn't shake each other's hands. Remember that? That was his early ministry. That was when he thought with Brother Neville he could see him, but he couldn't. But he said, I was wrong. He brought it to the right place. But remember, listen. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Let's see if I can get a little more. Go ahead, back up now to number 11, which is where we were at on proving his word. But he said, this is the beginning of the creation of God. This is the continuation of the creation of God. Now, if Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, who's the continuation?
Amen.
And I thought Jesus Christ was Almighty God. I thought Jesus Christ had eternal life. You see, back before the world, there was a people that were a part of God. And we wasn't back there, unless me, and you're going to say you're correcting. No. We wasn't back there as many souls.
Right.
We was back there as the one soul.
Right. Yeah.
We were in Jesus Christ when he came to the earth.
Amen. Right.
May I quote Brother Brown?
Right.
We walked with him on the shores of Galilee.
Yeah. Right.
He said we died with him
yeah.
on the cross. He said we even went to hell with him. Why? Because we're in him. Did not Ephesians say that we were chosen in him? Were. Before the foundation of the world. That's the scripture we've been reading. That makes something part of eternity connected to you. Yes, it does. But it don't make you eternal. You've got to receive eternal life.
Amen.
That's what I told the two soul people. I said, if that be so, all you teaching is that your new birth kills the old soul. Because you didn't need eternal life. This is 1970, folks. You didn't need eternal life because you always had it. I said, no. No. You're doing away with the plan of salvation. If you didn't need the new birth, why did Jesus Christ have to come and die? What's the purpose of his death?
That's right.
You say, well, it was to reveal. Hey, come on. I can quote scripture too. You know that he opened their understanding of the scriptures two times in the Bible after his resurrection? If he could open their understanding to the scriptures, why couldn't he open our understanding that we always was eternal?
Right.
Yeah.
You see, it won't fit, folks. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can find the one. Yeah. Go ahead and if you can pick up real quick and go over to number 16. The message called "And Knoweth It Not." And listen to what your prophet had to say. And you'll see that I believe in what he says. I just don't believe in the way man says. People today say, I come with this seed in me. Wonderful. Seed without water is no good. Seed was put in the pyramids of Egypt 4,000 years ago or more, and it never done a thing until they took it out and put it in the ground and put water to it. The seed without the moisture is nothing. But I've borne this seed in me. All right, we got it. We'll get to it Wednesday. Brother Brown tells you where the seed was put in you. He said it was put in you before the foundation of the world. Well, I wouldn't back there as physically was you. Okay, let's read something. You'll see why I believe it. It's got to come from the inside, which is the word from the beginning. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you into existence, you see, you started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now. Then we were all in Christ. And then when Christ died, died to redeem all of you. And you see a part of this word in the Bible of it, precept upon precept, Lord upon, not a jot or a tittle will fail from that. How in the world can you, being part of the word, disagree with the rest of it? How can you be part of God and disagree with the word of God?
Amen.
Well, I've got a right to believe what I want to. Amen. Help yourself. Why can't you be open to the word? and say, well, at least let me study it. Let me think about it. I ain't going to think about it. Bless God, I got my doctrine. Like I told you before, Herbert W. Armstrong, I used to listen to him 50 years ago. He said one day, he said, you destroy man's doctrine. He said, you destroyed the man. And I thought, well, that's a good point. And I held that thought in my mind until the day I talked to my brother-in-law about that hell wasn't eternal. And he's a good old Baptist preacher, and I'm not throwing off on him. He's a fine feller, wonderful man. I'm not throwing off on him. Better life than I could think about being. I'm not throwing off on him. But this is what he said. He said, if hell's not eternal, I won't preach no more. And I thought, why would a man make that statement? And then I realized it, what he was saying. Most of you never been in a Baptist church. Old brother Malk used to be up in Tennessee. He said, them Baptists will fry you over hell like a weenie. And I just laughed because I knew what he meant. You ever been to a Baptist church? What happens at the end of the service? Altar call. What's in the altar call? You don't get saved, you're going to burn in hell eternally. You want to be with mom and daddy, you got to go to heaven. If not, you're going to go to hell. You're going to burn. See, he ain't got no message. He threatens you to the altar. We're telling you about how lost you are. Some of you've been there, and you remember it. See, and that's what I was doing with my brother-in-law. I was taking away his altar call, that he couldn't use that of threatening you to burn in hell. I've seen the people of this message do the same thing. Threaten you with things. There ain't but one thing I'll threaten you with. If you and I don't believe the word. You need that quote? Word rejectors go to hell. People that don't understand the word are not word rejectors. They just don't understand. There's hope for them. But if you see it and turn it down and refuse to walk in it, then you're a rejector. Look what these people are doing now, going against the prophet's message. I heard of another one that he was talking about. Now they've gone to cutting their hair. Now they've gone to drinking their wine. Why would that man up there that went against Brother Brown to put out that thing, why would that be the first thing he'd do? I mean, he's a human being. He had a right to refuse to accept what Brother Branham said. But you know what the first thing he done? He started preaching it was all right for women to cut their hair. That was the first thing he started preaching about. You can't say Brother Branham didn't teach that, because he did, right? But he's saying Brother Branham was wrong about preaching about women cutting their hair. So you see what he's doing. He's turning down the entire word of God. Word rejectors go to hell. That's his business. That ain't me. He don't stand before me. He stands before Almighty God. If you don't agree with Brother Branham, okay, shut up. If you don't agree with what's preached here, good, shut up, go home. Go somewhere else. That's left to your choice. I have no ruling over anybody. But if you come here, at least you're going to hear what I have to say about it. Whether you believe it or not, you're going to hear it. And you're going to hear it over and over. Right? Because I believe the Bible. And I don't believe we come into the world with eternal life down in our soul that was lost and on its way to hell. Now, Brother Dick was asking me about the scripture. There's no scripture where it says, you know, that unclean, God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. It's full of saying that, but there's no direct quote of God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. That's not a direct scripture. It's the entire scripture made manifest. God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. It's not you and God. It's not the devil and God in your soul. That was your two-soul doctrine, people, that the devil gave you a soul and God gave you a soul. And all God had to do was kill the soul that the devil gave you. Because the other one didn't need anything. It was always was eternal and on its way to heaven. You say, well, you're not talking to people about people. I talk to the man that brought the doctrine. I talked to the man that brought the doctrine. He invited me to come preach for him. I said, I don't agree with you. I said, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't agree with you. I can't see it. Because I'm not going to tell anybody they're wrong. I'm going to just tell you I don't agree with you. You see, because I want to be right, folks. Come on, musician. I want to be right. But I believe that your soul, when you're a sinner, that's the real you. Mm-hmm. The devil is in there. Because get the future home and look at Brother Branham and where he drops the drawing and puts the unclean spirit in you and the things of the future home that he's doing. And then he draws a Christian and puts a dove in it. I believe that's the one soul that he drawed, one heart. One of them was when we were lost, the other one's when we're saved. See, God cannot predestinate nothing lost. He must give everyone a chance. You say, well, what about this and that and the other about the heathen? That's where I love Brother Branham. You know what I mean by that? I love what he teaches. Go in the church age book about page 13, 14, 15, somewhere right in there, and see if he doesn't explain to you about a gospel to the heathen that is in the millennium. And you know what I love for him to teach on? He said, them people, under their tribal laws, he said, God will not judge them about us and our ways and our teaching. He said he'll judge them about the way they live by their laws they had. He said, and I go to these foreign countries, and he said, not a venereal disease. Now, you can't do that now because it's developed a whole lot, right? But you get back there and find out what he says about it. He said, in those days, you don't find no girl that wasn't a virgin. He said they got to have a test before they can get married. You can't do it now. Because why? Because it's all perverted. Well, go back to him and listen. Go back to him to where he would talk about people and their laws. Man will be judged by those laws. Because he can't be judged by Jesus Christ. Because he'd never heard of Jesus Christ. A wonderful God we serve. That has a wonderful ways. What do we got?
We're going to try number 160. In
Let's stand.
We're going to be in G.
Time is filled with swift transition. No.
Whatsoever years may bring,
have a need, the altar's open. Next to you and sing it to him. Take your hand and sing to him. That's the hand you're holding on to. That's the hand of God. Now let's just let them play one now and clap our hands and think about it. Wednesday. Pray one for another.
You got to give us some.